Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Well, happy Easter. Oh my goodness, what a great day to be together. Even if you didn't know it was Easter, I'm telling you right now, it's Easter Sunday, big day for us in the faith, and we celebrate along with millions and millions and millions and millions of people all over the world who recognize our Jesus. Would you please stand, and as you stand, would you open your Bibles, if you have one with you, to Romans chapter 1. If you're new to the Bible, that is in the New Testament, and it is the sixth book in the New Testament, if you're starting there at the beginning of the New Testament. I'm going to give you a moment to turn there in your Bible, if you have it on your phone, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin by reading verse 2. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, as we dig into this text, I pray that we will recognize that your word is living and active, that you are speaking to every single one of us, no matter where we're at in this journey of life. You're speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I get a lot of text messages, I'm sure you do as well, but there's one text message that I'm never going to forget having received. I received it from a close friend on August 7th, 2019. I had just returned from being out of town for a few days and arrived back in town. I got home, and almost as soon as I got home, my phone dinged, and here's what the message said. Hey, Keith. So, long story, but I'm in the hospital with masses on my spine. And sounds like I'll be here for a few days. Have you ever got news like that? I was shocked. Just 3 days before, when I had headed out of town, my friend was in shape. My friend, as far as I knew, was healthy. He seemed more healthy than I seemed, and how I felt. I go out of town, I come back, and then I get this text. Like, what is going on? I get there as soon as I could to talk to him, and he had some pain and ended up going into the urgent care and ends up going to the ER and ends up sitting and laying in a hospital bed by the time that I'm there. And he continued to get bad news after bad news after bad news. I mean, it was like hitting him again and again and again where it wasn't just you have masses on your spine, if that's not bad enough. They began to discover tumor after tumor after tumor that had spread throughout his body. I'm looking at this guy. Like I said, when I went out of town, he was in shape. He looked healthy, much younger than me, much better looking than me. And here he is laying in that bed with that diagnosis. I'm like, what is going on? As the bad news continued to come, eventually he was given the diagnosis of stage 4 Burkitt lymphoma, which is a very rare and aggressive cancer, and it spells bad news. Now, if you have lived longer than a few years, you have probably received your share of bad news, right? It might be a diagnosis. It might have been a financial hit that impacted you in a way that you did not see coming. It might be that painful breakup with that one that you thought maybe they were the one. It might be something that a family member did, a choice that they made that just takes your breath away. And that's what bad news does, whether it's a job loss or whatever it is. It kind of just sucks the air right out of us, and we're like, what is going on? You know, you might escape cancer, but you will not escape bad news. It is part of the human experience, which means that all of us at times need a dose of good news. Because of all the things happening in our lives, all the things that are happening in our world, there are times when we just need to hear a bit of good news. And today I have the privilege of standing before you on this Easter Sunday and sharing some really, really, really good news. Now, most likely you've heard the word gospel. Maybe you've read the scriptures and you've read that, or you've heard someone use it in a different context. You've heard the word gospel. The gospel literally means good news. But in first century Greek culture, this word initially did not have any religious undertones to it. It had nothing particularly religious about it at all. It was just something that meant, hey, I've got something great to tell you, and I'm going to tell you. That was the gospel. So a soldier coming home from the war finally announcing to his family, the war's over! Like, I'm here! Fire up the grill! Like, I'm home and I made it! I can't believe it! That's good news. Passing your final exams, that's good news, right? That's the gospel. But when you see the gospel or the good news or the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture, then, okay, I just got to say, now we're talking a next level. Because the Scripture writers used a word, Jesus used a word that was common in that time, but then they just packed on a ton of meaning to it, to where this gospel meant something remarkable, incredible, extraordinary good news from God Himself. When I say God, I'm referring to the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe. Good news. Now, the good news in a word is Jesus. And why is the name Jesus good news? Well, I'm actually really glad you asked that question. Because we had an issue, and that was when God created man and woman, created them in His image, gave them a perfect place to live, which was His vision for how we were to live. The first man and woman, they made a decision, and that was to go against God. And we might say, man, they're the worst. Jerks, idiots, they messed it up for all of us. And you're right, they did. But I would say if they didn't, by the time it got to me, I would have. They messed things up. And what happened was something called sin came into the human experience. And it came into the human soul like a cancer that infected us. And it separated us from God. And the only hope we had was if God Himself, who created this perfect world, would look down at what He had created and then what we did with it and say, you know what? Because of my mercy, I'm going to step in and save them. That was our only hope. And that is exactly what happened. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The good news that God the Son, Jesus, came, died on the cross for the punishment of our sins and rose again on the third day. That's the good news. And what I want us to do over the next few moments is just lean in a little bit to this good news. I want to share a few things about it as we come from our text. And the first is this, is that this good news is actually old news. Now, I am not at all inferring that this good news that I'm talking about today is irrelevant or outdated. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that this good news is not new news. If you look at our text in Romans chapter 1, Apostle Paul writes, God promised this good news long ago through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I'm talking like hundreds of years before the death on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later, hundreds of years before the good news was being talked about. In fact, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to hundreds of people, and in one of those conversations, we know for a fact, and probably many of them, but in one of the conversations, there is scriptural and historical record of what Jesus said with the people He was talking to in that moment. It's in Luke chapter 24, and it says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. That must have been a long conversation. Remember, this was post-resurrection. The New Testament had not yet been written. And so what Jesus was doing is Jesus was walking them through the Old Testament and sharing with them from the beginning all the way to the end of the Old Testament what it was all about, the good news. You see, God shared the good news with Adam and Eve. Did you know that? He shared the good news with Abraham. Did you know that Moses preached the good news, and so did David, and so did Hannah in the Old Testament, and many others? Weaving throughout the Old Testament, through signs and sacrifices and symbols, through prophetic predictions, promises from God, we have this message, and the message of the Old Testament. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. That was the good news. And this good news is even older than the Old Testament. For we read in the scripture, specifically in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that it was God's plan from before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, God already had this plan. Before there was ever created anything, and before there was even sin, God already had a plan way before that time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Isn't God awesome? He knows everything. What an encouragement to your life. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen tomorrow? God already knows. And he's going to bring you through it. That was his plan before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and he illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. This good news is actually old news. God planned it, willed it, purposed it, determined it, and then he did it. He fulfilled it, what it was, exactly what it was that we needed. This good news is actually old news, but still relevant for us today. There's something else I want you to know about this good news, and that this good news about Jesus is not first and foremost about us. And we like to think everything is about us. But don't you know this good news is not first and foremost about us. It's not about you, not about me, first and foremost. Many of you might not remember, but in May of 2013, Time Magazine came out with an article that caught people's attention. On the cover, it said, "The Me, Me, Me Generation." When I reflect on that, I realize that they weren't just talking about, even if they thought they were about a certain segment of our population, they were talking about the human race. Because whether you're 2 or 42 or 72, come on, we're all there. It's so hard for us not to make it about us. Recently, someone was asking me about stupid things that I've done in the ministry. And so I was like, I started thinking about it. And I was like, there's a lot. Some I want to share, some I don't. I'm just saying. But one in particular, I'm like, okay, I could share that one. Oh my goodness. I remember back, it was a couple decades ago, on an Easter Sunday morning, the church I was a part of in Missouri was doing an Easter production, big old thing. Lots of people were involved in this presentation of Jesus. And the job that they gave me and my friend Doug was to be behind the scenes. I think they thought, like, we need to give these people something to do. The best thing is to do to hide them from everybody. And so they gave us what they thought would be a harmless, easy job, and that was to run the fog machine. That was our job. Run the fog machine. How hard can that be? This was old school fog machine, like I think with dry ice. I mean, it probably wasn't safe for the environment, any of that stuff. But we didn't know that back then. I didn't even wear a seatbelt to church that day. What? Oh my. So we're in the back. I mean, in the back, nobody can see us. And our only job is to push the button. And when we push the button, it sends out some fog. Well, we had done a little fog here and there, wherever the script said to push it. And then we get to the last song. The last song. There was a lady named Claudia that was singing this song. And she and Doug and I kind of had some run-ins, so we weren't like really seeing eye to eye for whatever reason. And she's up there belting out this song, and our job is to do a little fog. She's singing about the resurrection, like he is risen. And so we're like, And we can't see what's happening, but we just know, like, whew, fog's going out there. And then we kind of look at each other and we're like, let's do that again. So we hit the button again. And then, wow. I just pushed the button and it, man. We pushed the button again and it just became fun to us. And so for us, we forgot about all the people that the presentation was for. All we thought about is, this is fun. So we continued to push the button. The next thing we know, remember, we can't see what's happening out there. The next thing we know, this lady Claudia was singing, and all of a sudden, Lacey was there, she can testify to this, starts choking. He is choking through the last part of that song, and we're like, we're dead. We come out after the production is done, the pastor has said amen, and we look, and the men in the back have immediately opened up all the doors in order to air it out, and there is this thick haze throughout the entire auditorium. The sad reality of all that is the only reason we did that is because we thought it would be fun for us. Two losers sitting backstage. And as I think about the moments when I was selfish, I realized they're just sad moments. Like, how sad? Think about that. Think about any moment in your life. We all have a lot of them when you were selfish. You look back and you're like, how sad? Like, I was just thinking about me. I didn't care about all the people out there. Only thought about me. And I like to say that I have matured since then, at least a little bit. But I still deal with selfishness. I still deal with it every single day. This draw to make it about me. And I think every one of us, to a certain extent, deal with that. Where we want to make things about us. We want it to be about my body, my choices, my money, my sex life, my future. We want it to be about me. And we want everybody else to get in line and figure that out. I can do whatever I want. But I just want to say something to myself, and then you can hear this as well. It's not about me. Can I say this? Life is not about us. And the good news is not first and foremost about us either. Our text very clearly this morning, Romans chapter 1, says the good news is about His Son. The good news is about His Son. One translation says it like this: the gospel is centered in God's Son. Make no mistake about it. It's not first and foremost about us. It is centered. The entirety of the good news is centered in Jesus. If you take Jesus Christ out of Christianity, you are left with an empty, hollow, worthless, pointless religion that never helps anybody, only hurts. You are left with a religion of rules and regulations that has no life and no power if you take Jesus Christ out of it. You see, the good news is about Jesus. The next thing I would like you to hear today on this Easter Sunday is that this good news was proved with God's power. It was proved by God's power. I like proof. We all like to see the proof. We want to know if it's true. We've been told so many things. We've been told things that aren't true. We've had people try to put the wool over our eyes to deceive us. Like, we're sick of that. We want proof. And the good news was proved by God's power. Now, I can be just as skeptical, sometimes even more, of the next person. If someone says there's a really good deal at this store or online for this company, I'm like, I'm reading the small print because it's hard to believe. Too good to be, if it's too good to be true, it is. I can be as skeptical as the next guy. I reminded someone recently, they talked about politicians and what they were saying. I was like, hey, remember, it's election year. I want to see proof. That's how I roll. And Jesus gave us proof when it comes to the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is the proof in the Easter pudding, if you will. It was what was proving unequivocally to the first century disciples that this good news is true, that this Jesus was God. I mean, these first century disciples, each of them had at times doubted Jesus. You can read about that in the gospel accounts. They don't hold that back from readership. They at times disbelieved and doubted Jesus. They knew he was crucified. That was undeniable. He was unquestionably dead on the cross. They knew that. And historically speaking, no one in the academic world, historical, denies that. He died on the cross. But then just a few days later, there's Jesus with his disciples, talking with them, eating with them, answering their questions. They're high-fiving, they're hugging. They're like, what is going on? For the disciples, the resurrection proved that the good news was true. Because it was exactly what the Old Testament prophesied, exactly what Jesus said would happen. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says this. He was shown to be, declared to be, the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was declared to be, shown to be, revealed to be the Son of God. How? How? Through the resurrection, which was accomplished by the power of God. The disciples couldn't explain this one away. As they're sharing fish with Jesus, they're like, and someone's like, hey, Jesus didn't rise from the grave. And they're like, then who's this right here? The disciples couldn't deny it. That's not normal for someone to rise from the grave. They couldn't deny it. There Jesus was with them. In fact, one former skeptic wrote this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, which is another name for Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. Simon Peter, one of those whom Jesus appeared to, stood up just several days later in front of a massive crowd of thousands of people and unashamedly said this, God raised this Jesus from the grave, and we are all witnesses of it. We saw it with our own eyes, this resurrected Jesus. These disciples were so clear about the convincing proof of Jesus' resurrection that they wouldn't deny having seen the resurrected Jesus. They wouldn't deny the good news because they knew it to be true. It's proven by God's power. In fact, most of them died very painful, tortuous deaths because they were not willing to deny. And how could they deny? They saw Jesus with their own eyes. The resurrection was God's power. And this good news was proven by God's power. And I want you to know that God's good news is still being proven by his power. It's still being proven by his power. One changed life after another. Just 2 weeks ago, I met a lady who didn't grow up knowing the Lord. She shared this. At age 17, I totaled my car badly enough to believe it was a miracle that I was not severely harmed. This led me to question the existence of God and his desire for me to live. I got to a point where I cut off communication with my friends and committed to read the Bible every day for 3 months. I told the sky, if God was real, he would have to show me in 3 months. And if not, I knew I could go on living because I knew I'd made an honest effort. I would go for a run and rest in a soccer field every day after school where I would read. The first month, I had never felt more angry in my life and expressed that anger verbally to God for the first time. The second month, I wept more than I had in my life, and I felt my heart softening in a way I did not know was possible for me. Before the third month was over, I was convinced of the gospel and the power it has to transform me. See, the good news was proven with power 2,000 years ago, and it is still being proven today, one life after another, after another, after another. God is still at work. And for any of you who are praying for someone to embrace the good news we're talking about today, can I encourage you? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Here was a young lady that didn't have anybody even sharing with her, probably even praying for her, and God still was pursuing her, and God is still pursuing every single one of us here today. The good news is being proven again and again and again and again and again. At the beginning of the message, I shared about that text message I got from my good friend, and he continued to receive bad news after bad news, and finally getting the diagnosis that I shared, stage 4 Burkitt lymphoma, it was very difficult to hear. He began the treatment with a great, great medical team. And then something else happened. This church began to pray. I mean, really pray for God to do a miracle. 2 months later, as my friend was laying in his hospital bed, 2 months later, the doctors had run their scans after the 2-month mark, came back to him, and they gave him this statement: "We can't see any cancer. Only God." Today, my friend and a friend of many of you is living with his family in a third world country. Why? They're sharing the good news that has the power through Jesus' name to save, to restore, to deliver, and even heal. This good news was proven with power, but don't ever think it's just about something that's 2,000 years ago. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power that raised Christ from the dead wants to work in our lives to raise us up to live new life in Him. The same God. The same power. The same Jesus. The last thing I want to share about this good news is this. This good news that we're talking about today, this good news was prescribed specifically for you. Think about that. The original word used for power in this text, Romans chapter 1, that we're going through right now, the original word is in the Greek is dunamis. It means strength, power for performing miracles. But actually in the first century, this word was also used for something else. It was commonly used for this word that we would know, prescription. It was used for prescription. I mean, we all get that. Imagine with me and remember back to a time, I'm sure this has happened or something like it, where you wake up in the morning, you're not feeling well. You start through your day, you get to work, and it's 9 a.m. and your throat starts to hurt. By 12 p.m. at lunchtime, you're like, I cannot even eat. I can barely drink because my throat hurts so bad. By 5 p.m., when you swallow, you're thinking, I never knew that I swallowed this much in my life, but now I'm swallowing all the time because it feels like you're swallowing glass shards. You know what I'm saying? You ever been there? 5 p.m., you have a fever as well, and it's getting, you're heating up, and you know that. You're like steam coming out of your hair, and so you're like, I got to go. And so on your way home from work, you stop off at urgent care, and you have an enjoyable 2 to 3 hour wait. You finally get to see the doctor, and after the doctor gags you, that's a fun experience. He tells you what you probably already knew, and that is you have a problem, and it's called strep throat. And he writes out a what? You can't read it. But he writes out a prescription, and your next stop is that pharmacy. You're not pass and go collecting $200. You're not, man, I'm just gonna hit the drive-thru real quick, maybe get some takeout for the family. No, the first thing you're doing is you are going to that pharmacy as fast as you can because you know that prescription is for what you need. You need medicine. You need some antibiotics. You need something to knock this out. God, in his foreknowledge, knew what the human condition would be. And he, before the beginning of time, prescribed exactly what we would need. He knew that we would need the good news of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul experienced that in his own life, having formerly been a skeptic. He comes to faith, and then he declares this in verse 16 of our Romans chapter 1 today. He said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work." Don't you love that? It is the power of God. The good news is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Now, let's just get honest. No one in this place, including me, likes to be told that you're sick. Worse, you look sick. Isn't that the worst? You're like, oh my goodness. No one wants to be told that you're missing something in your life. Why? Because we want to say, we've got it all together. We're doing just fine. I've got life figured out. Okay, it's not perfect, but I'm okay. We want people to think that. We want to tell ourselves that. And none of us like to hear, especially on Easter Sunday morning, a pastor getting up and saying, "You need something. You're sick." None of us want to hear that. I don't like hearing it either. But probably many of us have been in a hospital room, maybe with a family member, or maybe just in the hospital bed ourselves. And doctor comes in, and he's like, "You know what? We need to run some X-rays." You ever been there? "We need to run some scans." Now, you all know probably better than me, those of you in the medical field, X-ray is getting and producing images of what's happening on the inside. So of your internal organs, bones, those types of things, those important things, organs. And they're going to give you a read, they're going to give the doctor a read on what's really going on the inside. Because the doctor can look at you and be like, "Hey, I mean, you look decent, you might want to exercise, but you look decent." But then he does the scan, he's like, "All right, let's show you now what's really going on the inside." I want you to think about this for a second. At the end of the 20th century, there were a lot of people who had come to the conclusion that there really was no evil in the world. That the thought of good and evil, like, that's old. There's really no evil in the world. We as a human race are evolving into a greater good and a greater knowledge. Interestingly, I've read that in the 20th century alone, over 100 million people were killed in wars. So as we look at the X-ray of our society, how are we doing? Did we evolve into a greater good by the end of the 20th century? Or was something wrong? Many people think that talk of God and the Bible is antiquated, outdated, irrelevant. We don't need to talk about God, whoever that is, if he exists. We don't definitely need to talk about the Bible, God's word, like what? But once again, what if we look at the X-ray of our society? What do we see? What's really going on? I mean, is it fair to say that as we look at the X-ray of our society, that maybe we don't have it all together? Is it fair to say as we look at the X-ray of our society that we might even have a crisis on our hands? Statistics back up the reality that we are seeing anxiety and loneliness and despair and overdoses at a rate that we have never seen in the human race. Is it safe to say that we might need some help? Let's make it really personal. What about your life? If we take an X-ray of your life, what's really going on? I mean, how are you really doing, like deep down? How are you really doing, like deep down in your soul. How are you really doing? At the level that maybe you don't talk about with anybody else, at the level that you try not to think about at all cost, how are you really doing? It's an interesting question. Let me ask you, have you figured out a way on your own to live with an unshakable hope? Have you figured out on your own how to have a deep contentment and live with perfect peace? Have you figured that out on your own? I would submit that our lives prove we need help outside of ourselves. And this is help that God, before the beginning of time, said, you know what? I've got what you need. I've got the exact prescription for your life. I've got the exact prescription for your fear, for your anxiety. I've got the exact prescription for your sin problem, for your addictions. I've got the exact prescription for your future and for your eternity. And the prescription was, and still is, the good news. The good news that was old news, but the good news that is still the right news for us today, right here, right now, in the 21st century. And I want to ask in this place for us to dig deep a little bit, to search our hearts a little bit. And first of all, ask, I wonder how many in this place, as you consider this thought and this question, how many in this place have not yet trusted in the good news? You have not yet trusted your life in the good news. You've not yet placed your life in God's hands to live God's way. You have not yet trusted Him with your life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says this. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. I love this. God's prescription that is proven with His power tells us exactly how we can be right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Not by works. Not by showing up at church every week for the next 200 years. This is accomplished start to finish by something called faith. What was that? Faith is coming clean before God, humbly before God, and repenting, confessing your sins before Him and saying, God, I need you and I believe that you are the prescription for my life. I believe that I have been created for you. I believe that you have a plan for my life. I believe that you died on the cross 2,000 years ago as the perfect sacrifice and you rose again on the third day because you are God and you give me opportunity to have life in you if I will place my faith in you. I want to ask if you would to just bow your heads for a moment. I want to say this is a big decision. This is not a, by the way, or I might need to add a little Jesus to my life. Placing our faith in Jesus is saying, Jesus, just as our text said, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. You are my Lord, meaning you are my King and you are my Savior. I want to give opportunity in this place on this Easter Sunday and those watching online even right now, if you have not yet placed your faith in Jesus, you have not yet trusted your life in His hands, calling upon His name and believing in Him in order to receive salvation, which is right relationship with God, a new life in Him, a new life lived for Him. I want you to have that opportunity here on Easter Sunday. Many people have been praying, maybe even praying for you specifically, because we want you to have that opportunity. And so for those in this place, you have not yet trusted in His good news, or maybe you haven't a long time ago, but you've walked away, and you're like, no, I want to make sure I'm right with God. I want to humbly place my faith in Him. Would you just slip up a hand right now? Main floor, up in the balcony here in this auditorium, we want to have opportunity to pray for you before we leave today. Yes, anyone else? You lift up a hand. Slip a band right where you're at. Don't miss this opportunity. Teenager, adult in this place. Yes, others, you lift up a hand. We give just a moment more. Don't miss this opportunity. I believe the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. If anyone else, you'd slip up a hand right where you're at. Don't want to miss anyone. Yes. Yes. Several have lifted hands. And we're going to pray, but and as your heads are bowed right next, we're going to just take a moment for prayer. But for those who lifted a hand, or those, maybe you didn't, but you almost did and you want to, I want you to think about this. What you're getting ready to pray is not just words. I'm telling you, this is significant. This is the most significant decision that you have ever made in your lifetime. So don't enter into this lightly. Don't enter into this just because you've been asked to. Enter into this because you want to, because you see that this good news is for you, that this God of the universe loves you that much to give you opportunity to come in relationship with Him. As I pray, I'm going to ask those who lifted a hand to pray this with me by repeating after me. And then I'm going to ask believers in this place, would you also join with us in praying this prayer, letting them know that they are not alone. And may you, as you're praying, believers, remember when you first found Jesus, when He first found you and you came into relationship with Him. Would you please repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I humble myself and I admit that I need you. I have sinned against you, fallen short of your glory time and time again. I have a problem, and it is sin. But I believe in you, that you came to defeat sin, to forgive me of sin, and to be our Lord. And so I ask you now to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, and to be the Lord of my life from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for the good news. Amen and amen. We praise God for what He's doing in hearts. He's always drawing people to Himself. That's why we give opportunities. Always drawing people to Himself because He loves so very much. Let me speak for a moment now to those who are here. You're a believer in Jesus. You're a follower of Christ. You know where you're going when you die because you've placed your faith in Jesus. You're going to spend eternity with Him. Can I just encourage you on this Easter Sunday? Don't have gospel amnesia. And what I mean by that is we could be all fired up and tomorrow there's a temptation that comes or you face a situation and we can easily forget the power of the gospel. And I want to challenge you as you leave here in just a few moments that you will leave with your faith raised up, built up in Him, knowing that the power of the good news, the power of Jesus, still has power to save those you're praying for, still has power to restore the relationships in your life that are broken and hurting, still has power to continue to change you from the inside out because none of us have arrived yet, still has the power to break the chains of addiction, still has the power to enable you to live a life that pleases Him and brings Him honor and makes a difference in this world. That's the power of the good news. It's the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that this good news is God's power at work in our lives right now, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It never loses its power.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.